It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
It's the Colin Cowherd Podcast presented by FanDuel. Football season's here. No better place to get in on the action. FanDuel app is safe. You get paid fast. Lot of ways to play. The spread, the money line, team totals, players, props. Lot of stuff. Over-unders. Jump into the action. Same game parlays are my favorite. Just use the promo code COLIN and download the FanDuel app today. Welcome to the Tuesday Morning Podcast, my weekly hit with winning quarterback Joe Burrow is coming up in about 5 minutes. So story time with Uncle Colin. I tend to be a creature of habit. I can be very repetitive, eat the same oatmeal for breakfast, exercise at the same time, go to bed at the same time. So I've always thought one of the things that was really attractive when I met my wife, Anne, 15 years ago, is that, you know, she's an artist. She does a lot of things well. She's a designer. She's an artist. She's a great mom. She's a great friend. She's a great planner. So it was one of the things where, you know, I kind of looked myself in the mirror and thought, you know, I was in my early 40s and I'm like, I'm boring. And, you know, I had been divorced and I thought I want to be with somebody that kind of energizes me and creates a cool environment that I'm not really good at. And so when I met Anne, that's what she does. I mean, if we take the kids on vacation, if we're going on vacation or just a weekend, always got a smart, fun plan. And, you know, you do the same thing, right? Maybe you're a great planner. Like if we're going to go skiing for 4 or 5 days, the first night it's theater night, we make pizza as a family. Second day we ski. Third day it's snowmobiles. Fourth day it's we go to a concert. But just a variety of different things. And I know that it's not a strength of mine. And I know it's one of her many strengths. So it's, I know I could just sit on the couch and be boring. And I would, you know, die a sad, lonely old man with cats that don't like me and empty skull cans because I've been dipping all day. All right, back to the story. One of the things that was really bothering me about college football. It's a sport I really love. I watched 10 hours of college football Saturday. It was probably the most college football I've watched in a single day in like 7 years. And I like college football. But it was repetitive. It was the same thing over and over. And it doesn't matter if Sark lost or Mario Cristobal lost and USC won. It feels like there are so many engaging stories in college football this year. Is Mario Cristobal going to work? What the hell? They just lost to Middle Tennessee State. Did Sark lose to Texas Tech? Oh my God, Lincoln Riley pulled it out. Is that college football, because of how it's constructed, the better you are, the more great recruits you get. It's a dynasty-driven sport. And so to break that up, the SEC's dominance, you need glamour markets that can pull away young people. Miami, Texas, USC are going to recruit really at a high level. We got enough Georgias, Alabamas, and Clemson, Oklahomas. We got enough rural programs, and they're great. But what I've noticed with me as a consumer is that the sport now has more layers and more stories and more interesting facets to it. I'm not going on vacation and doing the same thing for 5 days. Like Saturday, I got Oklahoma being upended. I got USC in their build winning. I get Texas upset. Mario Cristobal whiffs against Middle Tennessee State. I've got Clemson almost lost. I just want more to the vacation. I want more to my stories, and maybe that's selfish. But college football ratings and attendance has declined 7 straight years. Do you want to bet this year college football ratings are up? They already are. And that college football attendance will increase. So I banged on this. I've said this for years. What I do for a living, it is not my responsibility to make your sport or your team interesting. Once you're interesting, I'll talk about you. And as an avid college football fan, I just took 8 years off from the sport. Texas went in the tank. Miami went in the tank. USC went in the tank. West Coast football went in the tank. Now, UCLA is unbeaten. USC is unbeaten. The Pac-12 looks better. Now I've got Michigan's a real player. Is Notre Dame Marcus Freeman going to work? I don't know any other way to say it or any other analogy. But if you like spice to your life, if you like colors and different shades, different sizes, different stories, I think college football right now is the most interesting it has been in close to 10 years. Doesn't mean Alabama can't win it. I don't care how the last game goes. My guess is Alabama and Georgia end up in the playoff. The other two, though, Ohio State, I think, but they could lose to Michigan. Does USC get in? If they beat Utah, I mean, USC is going to be favored in every game except one going forward, and they have the best offensive coach probably in college football. So for me, it's been a great football season. I always know what I'm going to get from the NFL. I'm going to get parity. I'm going to get surprises. I mean, this weekend, the Bills lose. Kansas City loses. The Jaguars crush the Chargers. That's what makes the NFL great. You do get a lot of different storylines. But now I feel like I'm getting that on Saturday, not just Sunday. You know, I saw a lot of different reactions to Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, imploding in the Buffalo Bills coach's room upstairs as they lost to Miami. First of all, it was an agonizing day for the Bills. They were clearly the better team, so you had a lot of stress. And it's also been a team that struggles to win close games. They're 0-6 or 0-7 the last 2 years in games decided by 8 or less. But it didn't bother me. It was a little over the top. But one of my frustrations with the media is, we want access. Okay, fine. And then we complain about what we see or hear. If you want cameras inside that coaching cubicle, shit ain't pretty. On a half a dozen occasions in my life, I have been upstairs and sat within the vicinity of more in college than pro, but sat in the vicinity of a team's coaching room. It is nonstop screaming, emotion, yelling, passion. If you're going to put a camera in there, deal with the reality of it. They weren't necessarily yelling at a person. They weren't debasing or dehumanizing a person. They're yelling through a headset. They're often yelling to themselves. But the media does this all the time. They want access to things, and then you don't. It's like asking a question in life and being pissed off at the answer. Well, don't ask the question. Like Ken Dorsey flipped. All right. What do you think? He's going to be happy? I mean, Brady broke two tablets. The NFL responded with a press release warning players to not break tablets. Ken Dorsey didn't even break the headset. He was just pissed. But that's why I never, my wife and I have talked about this. Don't ask questions where you may get an answer you don't like. Don't put the cameras in there. The coaches, by the way, don't want the cameras in there. The coaches don't want to do Hard Knocks. The coaches don't want to do the mid-season Hard Knocks. It's not what the teams want. It's what the league wants. On a semi-annual basis, they come and notify teams, hey, for the overall TV product, we're going to put cameras here, 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 here. Nobody on the staff wants it. But should they be inauthentic? Should they pretend like they're not mad? Yeah, Ken Dorsey was over the top. He was pissed. Take the camera out if you're bothered.
As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small business rates LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? 40 million. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Colin. LinkedIn.com/Colin. Post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Football season's underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Join today, get started, $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Promo code, though, is Colin to get in on the action. Always Colin. Turn game day into payday. Win totals, division winners, player props, week one spreads and totals. Play your way, bet on more than just the final score. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. My fave. Now, FanDuel is also live in Kansas, baby. Don't fumble your chance. $150 in free bets, win or lose, promo code Colin. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online, real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-HO P-E-N-Y or text H-O-P-E-N-Y 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Red line 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums, but I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And here he is, Joe Burrow. So we talked about this last week. I said I watched the second half against Dallas, and I'm like, okay, it's all good. Now you've got some reps, and I really felt watching the second half against Dallas and the first half against the Jets, I was like, all right, it's not perfect, but I just as a consumer watched it and thought, yeah, they got their stuff together. Did you feel like after Dallas and the week of practice, when you're sitting there in pregame, did you feel like, yeah, this is going to click? I feel like we're at a place we weren't 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we had great urgency throughout the entire week. Offensive line, I thought, played great. Interior of the pocket was unbelievably firm, allowed me to step up and get out of some sticky situations, and receivers played great. And we were playing on time, efficient, the entire first half. Second half, we'd like to have some throws back and need to finish better. But, you know, we finished the game with a 8-minute drive, ran the ball on every snap. And so that was a big physicality moment for us to prove that, hey, we can go out and do this. We can get in 13 personnel and run it down your throat if we have to. And so that was a big stepping stone for us.
You know, it's weird. At this point in my career, I don't have disaster shows. So, you know, everything is at least, you know, B minus level, whatever. Your week is either win or fail. And that's how athletes look. So when that game ends, just be as honest as you can. The emotion, how good it feels in this league, the flight home, the walk into the tunnel, like it changes. Look at your smile. Like it changes everything, right?
Changes everything. And, you know, we have a lot of carryover from last year, a lot of guys, but it's the 2022 Bengals. Last year was over, and so we were trying to get over that hump of that first win. First one's always the hardest. And so it was exciting in the locker room. Playing around home was fun. Obviously, still a lot of corrections to be made. Film was what it was. But, you know, when you get that win, food tastes better. You sleep better at night. Everybody's happier in the locker room. The ping pong games are more fun in the locker room. So winning just makes everything better.
So we were talking about this in my kind of preamble, is that the media loves to put cameras around athletes, and then they don't like what they see. So Ken Dorsey freaks out. My takeaway was, well, that shit's been happening for 100 years. You just didn't have a camera in there. And Tom Brady's breaking iPads or whatever he's breaking. And I'm like, guys, when I go to work, it's not win or lose. So as I watched Dorsey, I thought, oh my God, that is, I've sat next to coaching cubicles probably a half dozen times as a media person. And the language during the game, I can hear it through the walls. So you sometimes get on the headset. And I mean, is it happened like once or twice a Sunday, Joe? Or maybe it doesn't anymore for you, where a coach barks. A coach is up your ass. He's pissed off.
Yeah, let's be honest. This is a very emotional game. There's a lot riding on each and every single game. Every game in the NFL counts. And at the end of the year, you can look back at one or two plays in a certain game where if it goes your way, you lose, and maybe you're in the playoffs. And so when coaches have these reactions and players have these reactions, you got to take a step back and understand how much work we put into each and every play every single week. And so when it doesn't go your way, emotions are going to run high. And that's just the way it is. We talked about it last week, how the nation is so polarized. Football is very polarizing. Like you said, you win or you lose. And if you win, the mistakes that you make, you know, you go back and correct them, but they're not as big of a deal. And then if you lose, you go back and look at these mistakes. So if I would have hit this one, we would have won. If, you know, he would have made this block, we would have won. If, you know, I would have checked this protection, we would have won. So emotions are going to run high in this game. That's just the way it is based off the amount of work that everybody puts in.
So when T. Higgins makes a catch like that, you've obviously run the play before in practice, right? But there's something about the juice of a real game. Like when he caught that ball, I'm like, when he high pointed, I'm like, is he doing that at practice every day? Or was that like a moment you're like, oh, okay, he took the elevator one floor higher than he had? Or had you seen him make stuff like that in practice?
You see flashes in practice. Obviously, in the season, it's a little different. Everyone's bodies, or you're trying to recover for Sunday. And obviously, you got to get your work in. But, you know, he probably doesn't go up and try to make that play in practice. And so when you see a guy like T, big, strong, fast, jumping out of the gym. I mean, you should go watch his basketball highlights, jumping from the free throw line, between the legs, dunking. It's incredible. And so when you have a guy like that, you just throw it up to him and let him go do what he does.
I also think when I watch the Bengals, Joe, I think I look at you guys a little like the Rams, not just because you ended up in the Super Bowl. You're what I would call you have more than one way to win. You're kind of a let it rip team. The Warriors in basketball are like this. Like, they miss a lot of shots. That, you know, Steph Curry's doing behind the back stuff, and you're like, Steph, what are you doing? Like, you guys have kind of an aggressive culture. And I'll say this. One of the advantages, Joe, that you guys don't have the Steelers history. So there's no reason to play it safe.
Yeah.
And so, like the Rams came to L.A. Well, what was the St. Louis Rams history? But when I watch you, I don't know, there are certain teams that make mistakes and I'm like, that's bad for them. I watch you and I'm kind of like, nah, it's very Rams. It's like, I kind of like Matt Stafford. He's going to have a pick, make the throw.
Yeah.
That's how, from the outside, that when I watch you, I'm like, I like you guys aggressive.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, we felt that on Sunday. And that was a big emphasis for me going in. You know, week one, I was aggressive. I throw four picks. Last week, I probably played a little safe. Our defense is playing great. We end up losing. And so this week, I think I found a good balance of, you know, I took some chances, scramble drill situations where, you know, maybe I shouldn't have, but, you know, I wouldn't look back and regret any of them. But also, I I threw the ball down the field and let our guys try to make plays in one-on-one situations. Maybe it wasn't a perfect throw, or maybe he didn't have 5 yards of separation, but those guys are so good in contested catch situations, I'm going to give them those opportunities. And that's when we're at our best. We're throwing the ball down the field. Maybe we don't hit it, but the defense feels that. They feel the ball in the air 50 yards. They feel the speed of our receivers coming off the ball. That opens up the run game. That's going to open up the underneath passing game. And so you got to take those chances. And I think we found a good balance this week.
So you had a legendary game against Tua where there was like eight NFL guys on the field, like skill players everywhere. I remember it well. And, you know, you meet Tua, you guys actually get a little bit of a break where their defense was on the field literally the entire game in unbelievable humidity. And now they have to travel and it's a short week. That happens about once a season where you get a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a 12-15% scheduling break. But go back to Tua before you'd played against them live or seen Tua. What did you, even the name sounds iconic. What did you know about him? What have you made about him when you've seen him or played against him?
Well, my first time watching Tua was when he came in at halftime in the national title game. I was like, who is this true freshman coming in here in the middle of the national title game? Hasn't started a snap and he's going to come in and do what he does. It was unbelievable. I hadn't started a game at the time. And I was like, there's true freshman doing this. I don't have a chance. And then, you know, we come play him. That was a fun game. You know, that was kind of our coming out party as a team. Yep. At LSU. You know, we knew we were good, but, you know, we're playing Alabama on the road. Let's see how good we really are. And turns out we were pretty good.
Yeah, that was there's an argument to be made. There's never been a college game ever played with more talent on the field. Yeah. Could you feel it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you run into guys, it seems like every week that you played against from Alabama. And, you know, we jump out on them early and then we get up two scores with like 3 minutes left. And all of a sudden, Tua hits Devontae Smith down the sideline for a long touchdown on the first play. And I'm like, oh, here we go. We got to go out here again. And it's just this back and forth. And you could see the speed on the field.
So, I was watching Justin Herbert yesterday. He obviously decided to play. He was in huge pain. So he got the shot, which I've talked to multiple players. It's like, listen, it's not going to cause further damage. It's just going to be really painful and you got to take a shot. And take me to your career, high school, college, pro. What is the most pain you've been in during a football game?
So during the game, I would say the national title game, my senior year, I did something to my ribs right before half of that game. So the second half was pretty painful. Last year when we played the Chargers, I dislocated my finger in like the first series and my hand blew up like a balloon. And that was not very fun. I was able to fight through it, played through that the whole rest of the year. But that's part of the game, just playing through injuries. And I think as quarterbacks, we have a responsibility to play through those kind of things because we're not grinding like the rest of the positions are. The offensive, defensive line, getting in car wrecks on every single play. And we're back there in the pocket, distributing the ball, show our toughness when we can. You got to play through injuries. You got to show your toughness to those guys and have their backs. That's the way I look at it. Justin's an unbelievable player, and I know he probably thinks the same way that I do.
Yeah. Did you ever see him play at Oregon? I mean, you see the Chargers tape.
I had never seen him play at Oregon. I knew he was big, strong. You know, Pac-12 after dark, you don't get to watch it very much. But, I mean, just my first time watching him was at the Combine. I wasn't participating, and he was throwing. And I was just like, this guy just throws it so effortlessly. So, so fun to watch him play. Unbelievable talent. He's just getting better and better. And I mean, I think he's one of the top guys right now.
Yeah. So it was interesting. You, You made news last week. I thought it was interesting. You said I kind of got off social, and I don't do all my social. I about 25% of it I do, and then 75% staff. But I have a daughter and I have a son, and I'm constantly saying, guys, it's not reality. These people are, they don't care about you. A lot of people are bots.
Yeah.
Were you surprised? I mean, it was quoted everywhere. I think it's the thing to do. LeBron James does this. He just goes dark. Like, I think I would do it. But I'm old now, so I laugh at all of it, right? Like, it's easy for me. I'm in my 50s. If I was in my 20s and I was a quarterback, like, I don't want that stuff upstairs. Were you surprised by that? Did anybody say anything to you personally or the reaction you got? Because it really got talked about a lot.
Yeah, see, I didn't. That's the great thing about deleting your social. You don't see the reaction, so I didn't even know that. But, you know, it's tough because, you know, use those platforms to communicate with people that, you know, people from home, people that you went to college with that maybe you haven't, don't have your number, but you still want to talk to. And so you use it for that. But there's so much negativity on all the platforms that it's just, it's tough to deal with sometimes, positively and negatively. And so you want to, as quarterbacks, we got to maintain even keel through the whole game, the whole season. It's a marathon. You can't get too high and you can't get too low. And I think social media is a net negative for people in our position.
You know, it's funny. Years ago, I was at a steakhouse in Tampa and Derek Jeter was there. It was spring training years and years ago. And he walked in with about six of his guys. And he had these guys he rolled with, a couple Yankees, couple just like high school buddies, college buddies, whatever. I don't think he went to college. No, he's Kalamazoo. He went to the minors. And so I remember reading a story about Derek. And Derek said, you know, I try to stay around positive people because there's no room for negativity or cynicism because it gets into my head. And I remember somebody once asked Jeter, when you're in a slump, which you've had very few, what do you think about? And he said, all I just think about is hit the ball hard, be positive. And so you always hear the business axiom, like, don't surround yourself with yes men. And I'm like, I gotta be honest, I don't like hanging out with disagreeable people. I agree with most of my friends and they say nice things to me and I say nice things to them. But as an Ohio guy, you want to keep it real, you want to be authentic, but stuff gets upstairs, man. I've gone to enough therapy in my life. Negativity is a drain. Like, what's the balance for you? Your shit talking buddies are still part of your life, but like, you got to be in the right mental space, Joe. You're literally the face of a multi-billion dollar corporation.
Yeah, that's why I try to exude as much confidence as I can, you know, clothing, on the field, press conference, because sometimes you got to trick yourself into it. You know, this stuff is really, really hard. And, you know, we know the work that we put in, but it's not always going to go great. And if you lose any confidence at any point, it's just going to snowball on you. And so you got to, sometimes you got to trick yourself into it and go out there and say, maybe I'm not feeling great, but damn it, I'm going to go out and win this game. I'm going to play great. It's going to be a great day for us. And sometimes it's just like that. And, you know, you need some negativity. You need some people to tell you, hey, we need to do this better. We need to do this better. But at the same time, you know yourself. And you know when you have to tune that stuff out and just get in your zone of confidence and I'm going to go out there and play the way that I play.
Think about this. I always think about cornerbacks. I thought Sauce Gardner was the best college player I saw last year. So he's just, as you saw this weekend, like he's a complete baller. Think about being a corner where it is a great day if you only give up six catches to Jamar Chase. Yeah. I mean, that position is all confidence. So what did you see about Sauce Gardner on film, in person? Because I think he's got some Deion stuff working.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's just two games. It was tough to see on film a little bit. But then you get out there and play him and you're like, oh, this guy's big, long, and fast. You know, there was through a go route to Jamar and his recovery speed on that was pretty unbelievable. And so he's just going to keep getting better. I told him, I know I talked to him after the game. I said, hey, you're going to be great, man. He's a big, physical, talented corner that is just going to keep getting better. I mean, he's a rookie, and he's going to be fun to watch.
You know, I was talking about this with the staff today. So not that you care, but the reason my show is called The Herd is because years ago, I worked out of college. I got a job with a minor league baseball team doing an inning of play-by-play and sales. So they hired me out of Eastern Washington University, and they let me do one inning of play-by-play, but I had to do sales all day long, which sucks. So the guy who was ran the team could never remember my, you know, he just like cow, and so he just called me Herd. So years later, I get into radio. And I noticed that all the radio people that, you know, Stern, Oprah, Imus, Seacrest or whatever, everybody had one name. So I thought, Herd. So I went and looked at your nicknames, and you got to explain a couple. So generationally, Joe Scheisty, what does that mean?
Somebody had posted a video, some kind of highlight last year, and it just kind of took off. That was crazy. I mean, there's so people just come up with all these out of the blue. It's pretty. People always ask me which ones are my favorite. I'm like, that's not for me to decide. That's for you guys to decide. You make the nicknames. I'm not calling myself that. I'm not running around calling myself Joe Scheisty, like making a dinner reservation. It's Mr. Scheisty. Nobody's doing that.
So I didn't know what Scheisty means. Does it mean anything?
I don't think it really does. I think it's just there's a rapper named Pooh Scheisty.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe it's off of that. I don't know.
Joe Burr.
That one I think came after. I like to wear a little jewelry every now and then. And so maybe I had some diamonds on that day. I don't know.
Ah, some ice.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you. I literally got credibility on this entire podcast on knowing what ice means. I know one time Joy Taylor on my show, this was like 3 years ago, used lit. And I said, I'd like to use that in a conversation today. And the pathetic thing was, I must have used it seven times that day. And my wife's like, you sound like such an idiot. And I'm like, you learn a word, I can't help myself.
Yeah.
So, for the record, I have one piece of jewelry. I got this in Italy. What is the line on cool and too much?
Yeah.
Like, what's your line?
There's definitely a line, and you know it when you see it. It's hard to describe, but I would say 6 or 7 chains is probably too much. You know, one or two. Low-key, subtle, not, I don't like to wear it if it's going to pop and it's going to, you know, take away from the outfit that I'm wearing, but somebody notices it like, oh, that's cool. So there's definitely a line.
So there was a moment, I really like Jimmy Garoppolo. I do, I think the media doesn't understand how hard this stuff is. So Garoppolo had, they took the playbook from him because they wanted Trey Lance to play.
Yeah.
He didn't practice. He was off to the side. He had shoulder surgery. He didn't take a snap in preseason. He didn't play week 1. He didn't start week 2. And he opens up at Denver in that altitude against Randy Gregory, Bradley Chubb. It's like, come on. The kid admitted after the game, he's like, man, I'm just out of sorts. So he had a moment when he stepped out of the end zone. And I'm like, it's just like, man, the game's going. Fans have no idea what it's like to be in a stadium. But Dan Orlovsky was literally half the way through it. And that was kind of comedic. But has there ever been a moment for you? I mean, Jesus, Super Bowl, lights, AFC championship. Have you ever sort of like looked at film a week later and thought, I kind of lose myself, the spacing? You get turned around in a sack. You get spun around. Because I looked at Garoppolo and I'm like, I'm surprised it doesn't happen like weekly in this league, especially when you're in the back. Hell, a punter kicked a ball into a guy's butt. Like, I get it. Have you ever lost yourself in a game?
You know, I like to think my spatial awareness is one of my better qualities as a quarterback. I've definitely lost track of the clock. We had 2 delay games on Sunday.
And what happens when you lose? Tell me what happens there.
Well, you know, you're surveying the defense. They're giving you a different look. You're trying to get the protection sorted out. Maybe a receiver lined up in the wrong split, so you got to get that figured out. And then you look at the clock. There's 3 seconds left. There's no time to snap the ball. You're trying to get it snapped, but you're on the silent cadence. And so that's, you know, you got to do, I mean, that's part of the job. You got to get everything organized. You got to know what everybody's doing. And so you got to get it all figured out. And then you got to get it all done in 40 seconds, sometimes 25. That's part of the job. I called a timeout when we didn't have a timeout in AAU basketball one time that lost us the game. That was pretty devastating.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first one that comes to mind there. That was tough.
By the way, Brady didn't get a playoff this weekend. Caleb Williams at USC couldn't get a playoff. Again, I just don't think the audience has any idea. So you basically come out. The first thing you're looking at is where they're lined up. Then you have to call a protection.
Yeah.
You're playing with 24-year-old kids. Somebody's lined up wrong half the time. You already have the play. Does anybody talk to you during that sequence from the sideline?
So the helmet cuts off at 15 seconds. You get the play, but you know sometimes you're trying to figure out if you want to challenge the play before. So maybe you have the play, but you're not breaking the huddle quite yet, so you don't know if you're going to run that play, and then all of a sudden it's down to 20 seconds, and you can't get any more feedback from the coach. Sometimes the headset goes out. The headset went out in the playoff game against the Titans for a whole series. In the 2 minutes, we didn't have a timeout to get to the sideline and change helmets, and so I had to call the whole series. Sometimes that's what being quarterback's about. It's about minimizing mistakes and just making it work when everything around you is going poorly.
Yeah. Are you still ever fooled by a pre-snap movement?
All the time. I mean, we had an unscouted look. I mean, when you're as explosive as we are on offense, you're going to get unscouted looks every single week. And so you get to the line and you're like, I've never seen this on film before. What in the world is this? And so you try to get through that play and try to find a completion or try to minimize that mistake. And then you go off to the sideline, look at the pictures, talk to the coaches about it. And then you're going to have an answer to it next time. But, you know, defensive coordinators are really, really good at what they do. And defensive players are really, really good at what they do. And so they're always going to have wrinkles to what they've shown on film. If they bring this blitz out of this look, then they're going to drop out of it the next time. They always have the complement to what they've shown on film, and then they always come in with one or two wrinkles that you haven't seen before that you have to handle on the fly.
Did the Jets talk? Were they chatty? Are some teams chattier?
Division games are usually a lot more chatty. Non-division games.
Yeah, Baltimore games. Feels chatty to me. Baltimore.
Baltimore's chatty. Pittsburgh is sometimes. The Browns are very chatty. So I don't think I've had any. Usually non-division games aren't as intense and trash talking.
Isn't that crazy? I've heard Peyton Manning told me 2 weeks ago. He goes, there's preseason speed, regular season speed, division game speed. Yeah. And I'm like, really? He's like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
So a Ravens game is different.
Yeah, you've just played them so much. You know all their looks. You know their calls. And so you know coming in, they're going to have a wrinkle for me that I'm not going to expect. And they might get you a couple times. And sometimes they know all your signals. So you got to come up with new signals that week because you played them 6 times over the last 3 years. And they just have so much film on you. And you've played these same players 3 years straight. And so you have history with them. The division games have a different feeling.
Do you like them more, though?
I do. You know, I always enjoy the ultra-competitive parts of the game. And when you get sacked by the same guy that you got sacked by last year, and he got a couple words for you, that gets your fire going. And that reminds you why you play the game. Because, you know, throughout the week, all the media can kind of get overwhelming sometimes. And then you get out there and you're in your zone and the bullets are flying. You're like, oh, this is why I do it. This is why we put in all the work to come out here and make plays. And that's why you see everybody dancing and celebrating after touchdowns and sacks, right? Because there's so much work that goes into it, and it's so hard, and there's so much attention on every game. And you go out and make a play, you want to celebrate that. And so that's always exciting when you see guys excited to make a play and their teammates excited for them.
All right, finally, let's circle back to the Temper, the Brady, the Dorsey. I don't think I have a huge temper, and then like once a month there'll just be something that will, you know, my kids will do something and I'll be like, oh my God, they've done this 10 times. Have you ever just lost it? Just come unglued with a coach, and just a practice, a bad route? When's the last time you lost it?
There were some intense conversations on the sideline against the Chiefs last year in the AFC Championship game.
Do tell.
Well, there was, you know, sometimes you go to the line with two plays. You got to get to one based off the look. And they gave us a look that, you know, was a little murky. And my decision was probably not the right one, but I felt it was at the time. And so,
right,
you know, I'm going to try not to show it with my body language, but conversation got a little heated. That's probably that's the only time since I've been in the NFL that that's happened. But, you know, we got great coaches that understand it gets a little intense out there sometimes.
So Zach got in your grill.
Yeah, he'll get in there every now and then.
I know he looks like he would, honestly. Some guys, I've heard Andy Reid barks, and he looks so jovial, but I've heard Andy can really, but I remember I had my best high school basketball coach. I like to be coached hard. I'd rather somebody just be authentic and ream me. So like I tell my daughter this all the time, is if you're sad, be sad. So I know you're sad. You're authentic. Like, it's okay. Like, don't try to fool me. Glass half full stuff. Like, I would rather have somebody, I've had bosses bark at me and it's like an hour later, I'm like, oh, just cleared the air. I'm not a passive aggressive guy, so I just don't have it in me. So I really like, there's parts of anger that I find fascinating, and I've been yelled at. The key is it when you get yelled at is to get over yourself. Nobody's yelling at you because they want to. Like, they're yelling at you because they're pissed because you screwed up. So yeah. I'm not a grudge holder. You're probably not much of a grudge holder.
No, not at all. I've got several things that I could have held a grudge for in the past, and we're all good now. But like I said, intensity is a part of the game. And so, you know, we've got a great coaching staff that understands how to coach people. They're very calm in the moment, but sometimes it gets intense. And the players in the locker room understand that if a coach is yelling at you, he's not doing it because he thinks you're a bad person. He's doing it because you probably messed up. And he's going to come back, and when you make a great play, he's going to love on you and tell you how great you are. I think the best coaches know how to – they know each player and how they can talk to them. Every single player, you know, maybe you can yell at this guy and he's going to respond, but maybe this other guy, if you yell at him, he's going to shut down. He's not going to play as well.
Right.
And as a leader, as a quarterback, you have to understand that as well. You know, maybe this offensive lineman needs a little kick in the butt sometimes, and this other guy, you got to tell him how great he is and tell him it's okay if he makes a mistake. And that's part of being a coach as well as a quarterback.
Joe Burrow, we're done. Congrats, buddy. Short week, Miami at home. Feels great. Smiles evident. Good seeing you.
Yes, sir. You too.
Volume. Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show. I brought Draymond Green into the Volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.